Okay, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We are going to wrap up 2 Timothy, since it looks like we just have the personal instructions at the very end of the epistle. And I'm going to rely heavily on the study notes for those, since there is a lot of name-dropping going on. And then we'll get over into Titus, which is the third of the so-called pastoral epistles. And we will note a good deal of similarity as Paul writes to Titus, roughly in the same time frame that he has written 2 Timothy. If you recall, 2 Timothy is dated to 68 AD, and so is Titus. And we have the martyrdom of both Peter and Paul later that year, AD 68. Okay, so then let's take a look at the personal instructions beginning at verse 9 of chapter 4, 2 Timothy. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, this is Paul's previous co-worker, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. And your study note says, perhaps Demas left the faith entirely, or was overcome by fear of imprisonment. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. So Crescens, this is the only mention of this man in the New Testament, and Titus, well, I think we have him coming up next. Verse 11, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for my ministry. Okay. So these are fellow travelers who later wrote Gospels. So Mark the Gospel writer and Luke the Gospel writer. Verse 12, Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. He previously traveled with Paul and Timothy, and the note says Paul probably sent him to Ephesus to take Timothy's responsibilities so Timothy could travel to see Paul. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all the parchments. Okay, and the study note says, prisoners in ancient times depended upon the provisions given to them by their family and friends rather than on the generosity of the jailers. Carpus, not otherwise mentioned in the New Testament, and the books, or literally scrolls, made of papyrus, and parchments, scrolls made of animal skin. Okay, so these are, we don't really know anything about these.
Why does he differentiate books from scrolls?
Well, simply, it would be my understanding that the difference in materials. So, for example, the scrolls are made of papyrus, and the parchments are made of animal skin. So maybe it would be roughly the books and the magazines. You know, if you told someone, bring me the books and the magazines, that might be how they think of it in the two different categories. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. Now this might be the same man, we discussed this earlier, who's mentioned in 1 Timothy 1:20, a teacher who rejected the faith and began working against Paul. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm, the Lord will repay him according to his deeds. And there we see the theme that, you know, vengeance isn't wrong, vengeance is the Lord's. Verse 15, beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. And the study note reminds us that that's the Greek word logos. He strongly opposed our word. And of course, John uses that as a reference to Christ. And it's possible to see that here, of course. It's possible also when he says, preach the word. I mean, the word is clearly the word of God written, the Bible. But one can also reflect on that as the word being Christ. And so, you know, Christ himself and the written word, though they can be distinguished, they're really one and the same. They're the revelation of God. And so you can see that in both these usages of the word logos. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. This is Paul's first legal proceeding that landed him in jail. May it not be charged against them. It's interesting that as Paul, you know, in many ways follows in the footsteps of Christ, just as Christ is deserted, so here Paul is likewise deserted. Just as Christ says, forgive them for they know not what they do at the time of his execution, here, as Paul looks forward to his execution, which he certainly is doing, you can see that back in verse 6, where he says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. He says, may it not be charged against them. Verse 17, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. So Paul is reminding here Timothy that though all others abandoned him, the Lord stood with him, and that Timothy can count on the very same. Now, as to this reference for the lion's mouth, the study note says this could symbolize deadly peril or describe an accuser at Paul's trial. Because of his Roman citizenship, it is not likely that Paul would have been put to death by lions in an amphitheater. Probably Paul was not declared guilty at his first defense. Okay. Verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And there we see Paul's attitude toward death, and really the attitude of all the early martyrs toward death, that though we die, yet shall we live. And as those who live and believe in Christ, we never die. And so it's simply the death of this body is nothing more than the death of the old Adam in us, and the new man who is already present in us simply is translated into heaven with our Lord Jesus, and we await the resurrection. Okay, final greetings. Verse 19. Prisca and Aquila. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Okay, well, we know Prisca and Aquila from Acts 18. And this is, you know, we probably know it as Priscilla. And so the study note says this is a diminutive form of the name Priscilla. Okay. Verse 20, Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. So Erastus is formerly the city treasurer of Corinth. You can see Romans for that. And Trophimus, you can see Acts for other references to him. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. These last four names are not otherwise mentioned in the New Testament, and all the brothers being the Christians at Ephesus. Okay, so this is a very common theme in those cultures that wrote letters is you have the big bulk of your presentation, what you want to present, and at the end you sort of put in the news and who greets who and who says what and what you might need, and all the practical matters get tacked in on at the end. And that's pretty much what we see here at the close of 2 Timothy. Obviously, Timothy faces a very difficult task, and from what we know, he carried it out well. Any questions or thoughts you have? Yes, Marty. Oh, I'm sorry, we have to get you a microphone.
Just a thought here. I'm wondering if in verse 10, where he says, for Demas, in love with this present world, it sounds sarcastic to me. Does he use sarcasm?
Well, Paul certainly uses sarcasm, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, anything that, by way of tangent, anything a preacher could possibly be accused of, as that's not an appropriate mode or means of communication, both Jesus and Paul use. They call names, they insult, they use innuendo, they tell parables, or at least Jesus tells parables about people while they're standing right there without naming them, but obviously intending them to hear it. I mean, pretty much any sort of aggressive, passive-aggressive, whatever kind of communication you can name somewhere in the scriptures, it's probably employed. Other than sinful modes. Yeah. So he certainly does use sarcasm. I'm not sure, you know, in love with this present world, maybe he was. Maybe he just was frightened of, didn't want to face the punishment that Paul himself was going to face. And Paul just stated that as bluntly as possible. He's in love with his life, with this present world. He's not ready to die, and sort of means that as an insult, as a rebuke. Obviously, word is going to get to him, and the point would be for him to turn and repent and rethink that. Yeah.
That's interesting, because I thought, before Marty asked it, I thought, well, he's in love with this present world. He wants to go have a great time. Mm-hmm. But maybe he was just afraid.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to be martyred.
Yeah. Because it just is that white and black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
You either love your life or you
you give it up.
Yeah, or you give it up. You either love your life or you love Christ. You either love this world or you love him and his kingdom. Yeah, I mean, at this point of sort of martyrdom, that's all you've got. It's just that dichotomy.